Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I know that we all have need that the Lord would feed us and guide us in times of trouble and need. And we all have a need to escape a bit from the world and the flesh and all the struggles out there, just to get alone with the Lord and to hide with Him. So with that, I'd just like to go to song number 6, He Hideth My Soul.
His hand covers me.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise God. Well, I know that it's a scripture, and as the song says, that I don't know who holds tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. His name is Jesus. We can't make it a day without him. And so I would like to encourage everybody, if we could just sing that song together at page 112 in the hymn book.
I don't know.
Of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise Him.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now I would like to submit this time to Pastor for his teaching and preaching.
Glory to God. And Brother Tim will receive the offering tonight, and momentarily, we'll be going into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, picking up where we left off long ago, as far as Wednesday nights. So good to see all of you tonight. Amen. I really feel wonderful being here. God bless you. Let's take a moment and we'll pray for the offering. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this offering Thou hast brought forth, and we give it unto Thee cheerfully to Thy work. Let it be blessed of Thee and used of Thee, O God, to the glory of Thy name. Help us to reach out to the lost quickly, because time is short. And Lord, let Thy blessing be upon us now as we go into Thy word. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate all of you very much, and I just want to thank God that He's given me the ability to get up here again and continue to teach, because it's my whole life. And I've known some of you for a very long time, some of you not quite so long, but I believe that God has put us together as a congregation, and we are in the last days, and we're family here. We're not... We're close to each other, and we're in the Spirit. And I do feel the love of Jesus Christ here tonight. Amen. Here I am, kind of beat up yet. I'm still not recovered. It's taking a while. That's all right. The Lord is showing me things. And every time I get up here, I have to pray during the day, Lord, give me a miracle so I can get up there and teach, because I need to have great presence of mind, and then I pray that Thou wouldst anoint me to help me to get Thy word out. I know I've studied, I've preached, I've taught for 40 years now, and that's about right, 40 years. I was God filled me with the Holy Ghost on May 11th of 1969. But anyway, that's a long time ago, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But He's finally got things, I believe, right where He wants them. And everything that's happened to me, I believe, is for a reason. And so I'm glad to be here tonight. And I'm glad to know that God is in charge, and that we're all friends, brothers, sisters. We all love God.
Amen.
I look back at you, I see the love of God in you. Some of you old, if you don't mind me using that, it's an honor to be old and still serving God.
Yes.
You know, I'm not a young man anymore either. I'll be 60 years old in a couple of weeks on June 5th. And I look back like at Gordon and Darlene. I love those dear people. Here they are later in their later years serving God, loving God, and they're an inspiration to me. I sometimes think of them when I need to feel an inspiration. I look at all of you, the others. You all have your place, and how God uses you And I can name any one of you here and tell about how thankful I am just to know you, just to be your friend. And I want to be the best friend you could ever have. So I want to say I appreciate Vicki Wolf very much for taking on extra duties for me. I had always been so careful and diligent to try to run things properly, administratively. Unfortunately, in any enterprise in this world, you have business things to take care of. And I was so wrapped up in all of that so much. And the Lord just really knocked me down and got me to the point where I had to give it up. All I want to do now, and I've told the Lord this over and over and over again, all I want to do now is minister in the Word and in prayer. In prophetic ministry, and no more administrative, no more of the things that go along with, you know, from the business standpoint. I just don't want anything to do with that anymore because the Lord has taken that away from me. He's made it very difficult for me to read and that's all right because I can still read His Word. I have no trouble with that. I'll save what ability I have, I'll save for the Word. So keep me in prayer because I think we're moving into a great new era. And the Lord is coming soon. He's getting us ready. But I appreciate all of you so much. I feel like I've got the best congregation in the whole world. I'm certainly not worthy of it, but I'm going to work hard. So anyway, keep me in prayer. Really, it's sustaining me. Things are looking better. And I got a report back yesterday that my kidneys are working more efficiently again. The number has greatly changed in just a week. And the other numbers also are slowly getting better. So my foot was looked at yesterday. It was completely healed. Wow. Shirley said she was amazed by it. It just, the doctor looked at it. His face kind of, he got this big surprised look on his face and said, "This is all dry. This is healed." Amen. So the Lord is with me. And He's with me in my infirmities. Now, I wanted to mention, too, regarding Pal Talk, I'm going to try and do this tomorrow night. I'm going to have the boys come over and to my house, and we're going to broadcast from there. That way I won't have to go out again. It is kind of difficult for me. This weather is hard for me right now because I'm trying to get well, and it's just so cold outside. So I'm praying for better weather too. But we will plan to have Pal Talk tomorrow night, and we're reaching a lot of people through the computer that way. So keep all of our efforts in prayer, and God bless you. We're going to go into the Word now. And first, I'd like to pray. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we feel Thy love, we feel Thy goodness, Thy grace, Thy mercy. We thank Thee, O God, this night that we can study Thy Word together because there's such power in Thy Word to prepare our hearts, to change us, to remake us, to draw us close to Thee. Lord, we feel the drawing power of Thy Spirit. Let the power of the Holy Ghost, O God, come in right now and draw us ever closer to Thee. We know the time is at hand, that the world is in chaos and strife, but in Thy kingdom is peace. Help us, Lord, now as we study Thy Word, that we might learn of Thee tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Let Satan be driven out. Let him have no power to interfere. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a hand praise. Amen. All right. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians, and there's so much in here that they need to know, that we need to know. He starts out by saying, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." I love this. He's telling these people, he's writing to them, he's saying, to have this ministry, first of all, we have to have mercy, or we would quickly faint. We need to have the mercy of God, the undeserved love, the withholding of wrath, because none of us are worthy of the gospel. None of us. In fact, the Bible says we are accounted worthy. Not worthy, accounted worthy. And through that accounting process of the blood of Jesus being factored in, and that he atoned for our sins, that makes us accounted worthy. Amen. But we receive that mercy, and therefore we faint not. So he's saying, and I just want to say this. You look at the world today, and it's just as Jesus said it was going to be. All of the dishonesty that's out there, all of the corruption, the graft, the greed, in every enterprise of man, all through the various systems that are operating. But what's most sad of all is you find in religious organizations dishonesty, greed, hidden things. It's not to be that way, folks. He's saying here, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. When you're crafty, you're being clever to deceive. So that's not what we're to do. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. The word of God, think of it. God's word, forever settled in heaven. God's pure, holy, wonderful word, to be put in the hands of men, to be manipulated to their own favor and to their own benefit without bringing glory to God. And how often that happens. So he says, but he does tell us, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He's saying we take the truth, God's truth, and we preach it. And there's power in the truth. The truth will overcome everything of dishonesty, every lie, everything in the darkness. The truth is a light, shines forth and exposes everything. The truth. And I know who the truth is. Notice I said I know who the truth is.
Yes.
Not just what the truth is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus didn't just claim to tell the truth, he claimed to be the truth. Can you imagine what a claim that is? You know, Pilate, when he was trying Jesus, asked the question of Jesus, what is truth? That was always the big philosophical question back there. Among the Romans, among the Greeks, what is truth? Nobody could ever answer it. They came up with theories and possibilities. But you know, I want you to listen very, very carefully if I can remember to do this right. Because I'll define truth for you. And some of you have heard me do this before, but I think it's time to do it again. We're going to define truth, and in doing so, we're going to see that the truth is not just a concept, but the truth is Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth is an accurate representation of that which is under consideration as it pertains to all other things, as it has always been in the past, is universally so in the present, and will hold without exception in the future. That's truth. Now there is only one who could fit that description. The one who is and was and is to come. He is the truth. And so we look at that word, manifestation of the truth. The making known, the full opening up. And you know, you look at the truth and you apply the Word of God today to anything. Every place you look, as you look through the eyes of truth, you see a world full of evil. The closer you get to heaven, the closer you get to God, the more repulsive the world becomes. With all of its lust, all of its wickedness and evil and filth, the world is saturated with these things. But truth, God's manifestation of it, the manifestation of Jesus Christ, certainly brings forth peace. And you can get close to him. All right? And notice they're commending. The Apostle Paul said in our ministry, we're commending ourselves to every man's conscience. In other words, we're laying this out to everybody. In the sight of God. Before God, before man, we lay out the truth. There it is. Do what you will. Answer what you will, but there it is. The best thing I know to do when you see truth is respond to it. And he says in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Why? Because it's the gospel that saves. How are people saved? They've got to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when they hear, the Spirit of God stirs them inside, works on them, bothers them, keeps them up at night. It's an amazing and awesome thing when you see the Spirit of God begin to move. When you see God touch somebody, what turns that person into a Christian? That person who was just a rank, unbelieving sinner, didn't care about anything. But now they change. What does it? You've got to hear the gospel. If we hide our gospel, we're hiding it from the lost. We should never let the lost intimidate us. They need to hear what you've got to say. They need to see your example. They need to see you pray. Man ought to pray everywhere, everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Not to make a show of it for any personal benefit. That's not it at all. But to just declare what God hath done for you. The depth, the sincerity of it all. And souls will be touched. So many people are intimidated. They get among sinners and they lose their Christianity. Their witness hides. It's almost like a turtle pulling the head and the feet in. Everything goes in. Where is it? It's just a shell. But when we get among the heathen, we need to let our light shine. I remember when the Lord first called me, I was just a young baby Christian, moving by the impulse of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. I used to, of course, as a teenager, go downtown in Clintonville. It was a little town. We didn't have much going on, but they had a pool parlor. I used to shoot pool and play the arcade machines, you know, the old pinball machines. In those days, you didn't have the electronics you had today. You had the old steel balls. You put a nickel in and get five balls. Then you get to a certain score and then pop, you get another ball and you keep playing. And anybody remember those? Anyway, I go down to this place and that's where all the kids hung out. I was always in there. Fairly popular guy. But when God saved me, somehow I lost my popularity. But I got praying. We're holding revival services. And I thought, I'm going to go down there. And I'm going to talk to those people. And I was so determined. And I walked downtown, out of the church, down the street, down Fifth Street, to Main Street and downtown. And I walked in that place and I saw everybody there and they're smoking their cigarettes and drinking their soda pop. It was just a teen hangout, you know. And I started talking to people. Finally, the place got quiet because I got loud. And I said, now, I want to tell all of you something. I said, you all know me. I was just like you. But something happened to me. And I want to tell you that you're all going to spend eternity somewhere. Every one of you. You will and I will. All the pool cues were set down and everybody was listening. I said, now we're holding special services right up the street here. Right now you've got a wonderful opportunity to see the miraculous. You have a wonderful opportunity to to hear what the gospel really is. It has nothing to do with religions you belong to. And I preached that little message, and I said, "Now I'm going up to church right now. We're going to be starting. And if you've got any brains at all, you'll come with me." And I walked out the door. I went up that main street in Clintonville and started walking up the street, and I looked behind me, and all of a sudden the door opened back there and some of them were coming out. And by the time I got up to the church, there were 46 of them. And they came, and the pastor was shocked. 46 young people sitting there. What an opportunity for preaching. And that evangelist that night preached the word of God with all his heart. And a large number of them came to the front and prayed. We had a number of conversions. Some were filled with the Holy Ghost. One man became a preacher, still preaching today. It can be done, folks. But we've got to let the light shine. We have the upper hand. We're right. We have the truth. Amen. Nothing to be ashamed of. I thank God over and over and over again for Christian boldness. Help us to not be intimidated. I know the devil will tell you, "Oh, you're just showing it off." No, you're not. You're living it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world... Now, we know who God is. But does the world have their own God? Yeah, they do. He really isn't a God, but they make him one. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So there is an evil spirit, an evil force, Satan. He's called the God of this world. And he blinds the minds of the people. I'm going to pause for a moment. Could I have someone get me a box of Kleenex or something? I could use a little help here. Feel little sniffles, and I'm still recovering from that sinus surgery. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Bear with me for a moment. Thank you. All right. So he blinds the minds of them which believe not. Why do so many not believe? What's not to believe? Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. We believe it. Why shouldn't we? All they would have had to do to destroy Christianity back in the first early days there is find the body of Jesus Christ, and they couldn't do it because he was risen. So, yes, why do so many not believe? If they would, notice what would happen. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The gospel shines. It lights us up. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is light. Jesus is the light of life. Just as when God looked upon the darkness when he created the world, remember back in Genesis chapter 1? So when Jesus came forth, he brought forth a new creation. And brought forth new light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. He hadn't created the sun yet, but he created light. When Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary and he looked out over the crowd of people that came to watch him die, God sent darkness upon the earth again. Thick, deep darkness. But the gospel was being performed. Blood was being shed. The life of Jesus was being given. The crown of thorns on his head. They pierced his hands and his feet. And there he was once again from that vantage point of the cross, looking out over a world full of darkness, and he brought forth new light. Such is the gospel. And this light will shine. Through Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 5, it tells us, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." We're not here to make a good impression of ourselves. That's not our primary concern. Our primary concern is to preach Jesus Christ. No matter what you think of us, no matter what you think of me, what I'm trying to do is be honest. That's why people listen to me. They know I love them. They know I'm going to be honest with them. You know, after my surgery recently, with my left eye closed, and it remains closed because of the nerve damage there, look in the mirror, I think, boy, I certainly am nothing to look at. Praise the Lord. I don't know if I ever was. But doesn't matter, does it? God bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. So, the Lord shows us and teaches us that our primary concern is, let's show people who Jesus is. When people are mean to you, when they say nasty things about you, and you just bring Jesus into the picture, it changes everything, doesn't it? And it gives you peace in your heart. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That face of Jesus Christ. His face outshines the sun. It's so bright. You read of it in Revelation chapter 1. Just think of the description of him there. And he is our soon coming king. But talk about light. When the Lord looks upon you with that great light from heaven, and he's got all the love and compassion, tender mercies that he ever had. See, a lot of people misrepresent God. They want to make you think that God is really reluctant. He's out to get you. No. God loves you. That's why he went to the cross. I see his love there. I see it. I feel it. I feel the effect of it. I feel the result of it. And it's real. Oh, it is so real. In a world so distorted that doesn't even know what love is, there you find it at the cross. In a world that doesn't understand forgiveness or any of the spiritual values, any of the true things and wonderful things, you find it all at Calvary. In the face of Jesus Christ. Remember when the children of Israel would move through the wilderness, Moses would bless them with this blessing. He would say, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." The countenance is the face. May God lift up his face upon you. May God look upon you in peace. Amen. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Your body, my body, it's an earthen vessel. But inside of that earthen vessel is a treasure. Something from heaven. You know, when you look at the Ark of the Covenant, it's a type of that there because, yeah, they made a, it wasn't an earthen vessel, but it was a beautiful, beautiful box overlaid with gold and so forth. But inside of it, there was a treasure. There was a portion of manna that stayed there, never rotted. There was Aaron's rod that budded and grew almonds. And there was the law, the Ten Commandments, the tables of the law in that ark, the writing of God. What we have within us, see, Aaron's rod represented the priesthood of God. And we have within us a priesthood. What is a priest, really? Usually you think of the word priest, you think of a Roman Catholic priest. Oh, yuck. A priest is one who is an intercessor, a go-between, one who prays and intercedes for another. And God wrote his law in our hearts. And in our hearts is a priesthood. It's all there. His spirit dwells within. It's a treasure. You have a treasure inside of you, inside of this earthen vessel. And it's kind of amazing when you think of it all. A treasure from heaven, heavenly things. written within. God wrote His law in your heart. The writing of God, the finger of God. When He comes down and moves upon you, you feel that great stirring. That's His Spirit. That's His love. Praise the Lord. Because inside of you there is a treasure. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Praise the Lord. It's never us. Never. Never take credit for anything that turns out well. Because it was God that did it. Now he goes on and says, we are troubled on every side. Oh, I sure know what that feels like lately. We are troubled on every side. Now here's what it really means to be a Christian, if you want a definition of it. Some people think, well, I'll be a Christian. I'll join one of these mega churches and get in all these clubs and associations and go to all the pancake breakfasts. Go and hit all the rock concerts. Go and watch the gospel magicians, ventriloquists. Go to the Christian disco and nightclub. They don't understand at all. That's all flesh. That's all evil. To be a Christian, it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Sometimes you get hit and you get hit hard. But God's always right there with you. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. We're constantly bearing the dying. Why? Because it's part of the gospel. If you bear the gospel, you are bearing the dying of Jesus Christ. And so you're continually feeling the effect of Calvary. Continually feeling the effect of His groaning, of His suffering. It's all going on inside of you continually. And in the face of it all, there's victory. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For Him to live within us and be manifested within us, His dying must also be within us. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So to have life, death has to be going on. That's how it works in this world. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Those who are preaching the gospel, declaring the gospel, teaching the gospel, they feel death working in them.
But those receiving the teaching, those hearing the preaching, they feel the life working in them. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. If I truly believe, I'm motivated. I do something about it. I move forward. I cry out. I pray. I travail. I reach out. Why? If I truly believe it. If I look at this world and I say, look at this world. It's telling me the Lord's coming soon. Here we've got the whole European Union being shaken up. The nation of Greece is bankrupt. The euro is in trouble, which affects other currencies as well. We've got a massive volcano going on in Iceland, still kicking up a fuss. We got oil leaks in the Gulf of Mexico. Every place you look, there's trouble, trouble, trouble. One thing after another. Our world is being polluted, ransacked by the enemy, destroyed. And I preach, I get up and I preach the prophetic ministry that Jesus is coming soon. See, if I really believe that, then I'll do something about it. I'll tell everybody about it. So if we believe, therefore we speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. See, all of this brings praise to God and worship. We get into a harmonious state with heaven. We are affected by the association of angels. It's the Spirit of God is there. This is the kind of presence of the Lord that we want in our lives. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. God is ultimately glorified here. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. And we're all headed that way, aren't we? Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Well, the outward man is dying. On the inside of us, there's a renewal. Every day a renewal. You feel something different on the inside. It's the Spirit of God working. Renewing. Renewing, renewing, renewing. His mercies are fresh every morning. No matter how the flesh fails, no matter what quits working and what... I remember laying in the hospital there, and it was the second day after the surgery. My eyelid wasn't opening, and so... But previous to that, I was able to lift it and look, and I could see through it, you know. It's just that the lid was closed. But that second day after the surgery, I lifted it and there was no vision at all. And I thought, oh, here we go. I lost an eye, you know. And immediately I thought, maybe and maybe not. We'll leave that up to God. Did he open the blind eyes in the Bible? So I have one eye right now to work with. But that may change. And whatever happens, I can preach. If I have to, I'll preach blind. But I can preach as long as he anoints me. I just don't feel even the slightest desire to back down. And I went through a few days of grieving for my eye, but I've turned it over to God. We'll just leave it there. Whatever he'll do, he'll do. And it'll be fine. Praise the Lord. But on the inside of me, there's a renewing day by day. And see, that's what's going to carry us through. For our light affliction. Oh, that touches my heart. We think we've got it so bad sometimes. And I look at this man, the Apostle Paul. He says, our light affliction. 5 times he received 40 stripes, save one. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He was left for dead. He was beaten so much. Think of what his back must have looked like. All the scar tissue. Everything that he suffered. But he experienced many miracles in that suffering. And he says, for our light affliction is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight in glory. It's just for a while. It won't be long. Just a moment is all it is. Do you ever think about that? One day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as one day. From God's vantage point, Jesus died on the cross the day before yesterday. We have certain concepts of time. We're given 70, maybe more. But time is so hard to understand. We have such a little piece of it to deal with. But in all the scope of time, it's nothing compared to eternity. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Everything that we can see is temporary. It's all going to be gone. Everything you now see, one day you will not see. But the things which are not seen, the things you don't see right now, you're going to see forever. They're eternal. Quite a study in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So praise the Lord. We're going to conclude the study there. Gives us a lot to think about, doesn't it? Amen.
I'm going to have Brother Stephen come up and lead a prayer here in closing and make a comment if he wants to on anything, if he would please. Amen. If you want to sing a chorus, you're welcome to do that too. If one comes to mind, it's fine. Thank you, Jesus.
I'd just like to pray. I'm just very thankful to have Pastor back up here tonight, and I can surely feel the presence of the Lord here and the love shining forth. I'm just very thankful for what the Lord's worked in our brother here. Praise God. Lord God, Heavenly Father above, Lord, we praise thy holy name, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, for all you've done and worked in our lives, dear Lord, for giving us the gospel of truth, dear Lord. Oh, dear Lord, we thank you for thy standards and thy word, dear Lord, that they hold true, dear Lord, and stand the test of time and beyond into eternity, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have all that to grab onto, dear Lord, to carry us through in this world, dear Lord, that you are always there for us, dear Lord, through every hill, every valley, every step that we take in this world, dear Lord, that we can always rely upon thee, dear Lord. Dear Lord, that you are always there to lift us up when we fall down, dear Lord. I praise thee, O Lord. I praise thee, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for this evening, dear Lord, that we can gather here in fellowship, dear Lord, and that you are here with us, dear Lord. You're here with us, dear Lord, whether we're sitting here, dear Lord, or whether we're sitting at home and our computer is listening in, dear Lord, that you are everywhere present, dear Lord. You are all-powerful, dear Lord, and that your spirit unites us all, dear Lord, in one mind, one accord, that we can feel the harmony of heaven, dear Lord. And I praise you for that, dear Lord. I praise thy name. Oh, dear Lord, I just thank you, dear Lord, for your wisdom, dear Lord, for your divine knowledge, dear Lord, that you impart upon us, dear Lord, that we can understand these things in thy word, dear Lord God Almighty, to know that time is so precious, dear Lord, and we have so little of it, dear Lord, and it's just so important, dear Lord, that we look unto thee, dear Lord, that we can be purified more and more each day, dear Lord, looking to use our time more wisely, to purchase it more wisely, dear Lord, that we are here to prepare for eternity, dear Lord, with thee, dear Lord. Oh, dear Lord, I thank you for thy works within us, dear Lord, for making us bold, dear Lord, that we can step forth and declare the gospel unto the lost, dear Lord. Oh, dear Lord, so we can shine as examples unto thee, dear Lord, bring in your light of truth to those who need it so desperately in this lost world, dear Lord. I praise thy holy name, dear Lord. I praise you for all you've done for us, how you suffered for us. Oh, dear Lord, I praise you, dear Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I claim all this, and I thank you for all this in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the blood. Amen.
Amen. Praise